Well, as a preacher, I have the privilege and, yea, the responsibility of officiating at many funerals. I have a preacher friend who's been pastoring for over 25 years, and in those 25 years, he said to me, I have done roughly 25 weddings and roughly 250 funerals. And part of the reason is, not everybody gets married, but everybody dies. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. As a preacher, I am called upon to go to the cemeteries. I've gone to the cemetery with some of you here, but I can tell you this, I do not like the cemetery one bit. It's just a part of life I don't enjoy very much. But when I am at the cemetery, I always take the time to look at the stones. I always take the time to look, and sometimes I'm saddened by a stone that may say 1901 to 1903. And I get brokenhearted for somebody that had to bury a baby. Or I'll see, sometimes you may see a stone that says 1900 to 2011, and you'll think, wow, there's somebody that lived a long life. What I always do is I look at the epitaphs. I've seen some great ones. Waiting for the trumpet. How about that one? Waiting for the trumpet. I like that one. I've seen others that says, a faithful servant. Seen others that may say, loving husband, doting father. One of my favorite ones is, I can still see right where it is, Brother Jim. It's out in Holyoke, Massachusetts. It's a long stone. It says, until the daybreak. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Amen. I think about these, and you know, when you think about epitaphs, epitaphs has to do with what somebody thought of this person. Did you know there are some spiritual epitaphs in the Bible? Some spiritual tombstones that God wrote on? Can I say there are some negative spiritual tombstones? The Bible says of Esau, Isaac's son, Jacob's brother, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. What a terrible thing to have God write about you. Why was he that way? I'll tell you why. Because he did not care for eternal things, but lived for temporal things. And God said, profane. You know, there's another character that we know of, and his name is Ahab. Ahab, that wicked king. It says in 1 Kings 21:25, but there was none like unto Ahab, and God didn't mean it in a good way, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. And how about this, husbands, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up? What's that saying? That Ahab wouldn't have been half as wicked if it wasn't for Jezebel. She stirred him up to wickedness. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites. You know, Solomon was called the wisest man that ever lived. But you know what his tombstone would say? His epitaph? And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart from following the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, I read the story of Solomon, and I think of my own children, and I think of children that are growing up in this church, and I think, Brother Lawley, they've got a good start. Man, let's make sure they finish well. Amen. Solomon had a great start. Son of David. Hey, if it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to us, and it can happen to our kids, too. Get our hearts turned away from him. How about Demas? He was a worker with Paul. He worked hard with Paul on the missionary journeys. Yet at the end, the Bible says this, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He left the work of God because he loved the world. 2 Timothy 4. But you know what? There's some good epitaphs as well. Abraham. James 2:23 says, and the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. How'd you like that one on your tombstone? called the friend of God. Moses, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34:10, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." The Bible says of David in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." Boy, could we try to be a man, a woman after God's own heart. You know, by the way, you know how to do that? You just get in this book and follow it. Do what it says. Amen. Just determine, hey, if I mess up, I'm going to fess up. Amen. If I mess up, I'm going to fess up just like David did. David messed up bad many times. He fessed up and he tried to walk with God. I think of Revelation 2:13, a man that many of us know very little about. His name is Antipas. Revelation 2:13 says, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name and hath not denied the faith. Even in those days where Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, gave his life." In 2 Kings chapter 23, we have God's epitaph of Josiah. Josiah. It says, if you look with me again, verses 24 and 25, "Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book of Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him." Now remember, it said the same thing about Ahab, but not talking about the same thing now, is it? "Who that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him." Go over with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and just by way of introduction tonight, we'll set the stage here, and then get into the message tonight. And we've entitled our message, "Wanted More Josiahs." We need more Josiahs. Amen. That's right, buddy. Amen. He's smiling right now. Amen. 2 Chronicles 34, look at verse 1, please. It says, "And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign in Jerusalem." You know what? By way of introduction, I wanted to notice Josiah's season. Josiah's season. He was 8 years old and he reigned for 31 years. He lived to be 39. I turned 40 this year. Josiah started his rule when he was 8 years. Are there any 8-year-olds in here tonight? There's two of them, amen? The twins, amen? Who else? Anybody else? 8? Just imagine, Brother Lawley, now just imagine Jonathan King at 8 years old. King Jonathan, amen? Hey, listen, think about your own life when you were 8 years old. You know how many mistakes we've made since we were 8 years old? Probably about as many we made while we were 8 years old. Amen? But here he is, a young reign. But you know what that tells me here, just by way of introduction? Hey, listen. It doesn't matter how young you are, you can serve the Lord. By the way, let me say this to our seniors, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can serve the Lord. God just wants people to serve Him, amen? And here's Josiah, the son of Manasseh here, and he is 8 years old and he begins to be king of Judah. So we see the season, but then we see the stage. The stage. The stage was divided politically. We had the northern kingdom that followed Jeroboam, and then we had the southern kingdom, which followed Rehoboam. Josiah was king of the southern kingdom. And by the way, can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? It seems like every time we have an election, we talk about how divided we are politically in this country. Do you know it's going to be that way until the millennium? When Jesus comes, there's going to be no more political division, amen? It's going to be about Him. But until then, we're going to be divided politically. And listen, I don't mind being divided politically. I'll just tell you this. Some things I cannot compromise on. See, that's what the other side doesn't seem to understand. I can't compromise that you think the murder of a baby is a woman's right. I can't compromise on that. The Bible tells me. I can't compromise on the fact that you think two men or two women should be able to get married. I can't compromise on that. The Word of God's clear on it. So I can't sell that, amen? But you listen, it was divided politically then, and it'll be divided politically till Jesus comes. Something else during this stage, it was not only divided politically, but it was dark spiritually. You see, Josiah's grandpa, Hezekiah, had destroyed the idols and gutted the land of idol worship. Go back, hold your place there in 2 Chronicles 34. Go back to 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31. And if you know anything about the history of the kings, all the kings of the northern kingdom, all the kings of Israel, every last one of them was bad. Was rotten, amen. But you had a few kings in the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, that were good. And Hezekiah was one of them. He was a good king. Not perfect. You'll see flaws when you read the kings and the chronicles, amen. But it said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Look at verse 1 of chapter 31. It says, "Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and also Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession in their own cities." So Hezekiah here, he stamped out idol worship. He said, "We're not going to have it. If we want God's blessing, we're going to have to get rid of these idols and we're going to have to worship God." Then his son, Manasseh, came along. Look at verses, go to 2 Chronicles 33. 2 Chronicles 33. And here's another king that had a young start. Josiah started when he was 8. Manasseh here started when he was 12. And it says there in verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped them and all the host of heaven and served them. Jump down to verse 9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do... And boy, what a statement for God's people. And to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Can I say this just again by way of introduction? It was dark spiritually. Why was it dark spiritually? Because God was speaking and nobody was listening. Because God, hey, be glad God speaks to your heart. I've always said this when I've been in services. I'm glad when I go to the altar. And you know why? Because I'm glad that God took the time to speak to my heart. Because when He's not speaking, that's when I get nervous. Because I know this, if the Word of God is being preached, He ought to be speaking to my heart. And here they were. It was a dark spiritual time. Hezekiah had destroyed all the idols, and then Manasseh brought them all right back in. Not only was it dark spiritually, you see something else. 2 Chronicles 33, verses 21 through 25. It was depraved morally. You see, whenever you have spiritual darkness, you will have moral depravity. That's why that, listen, if those of you that know your history, that's why when they remove God from communist countries, the worst of all things begins to happen in that country. Because when you have a land that's, listen folks, those of you that know your history in the Vietnam War, we left Vietnam, and then in Cambodia, a communist dictator named Pol Pot came to power, and you had what's called the killing fields. By the way, we don't have those in America. We don't have gigantic mass graves in Nebraska, amen, where we're burying all political dissidents. No, we don't do that. Why? Because praise God, there's still a little bit of light coming through here in America, and it's coming through the churches, amen. But I want to tell you, here, you look at verse 21. It says, Amnon was 22 years old when he began to reign. Verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 33. And reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. You see, Manasseh at the end of his life had gotten right with God. What does it say here? Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against him. It was just murder, murder going on, murder, murder, murder. Why? Because that's what you get, moral depravity when you get spiritual darkness. But not only can we notice, by way of introduction, the season and the stage, but we can notice the summons, the goal, the purpose, or the desire. Look, if you would, at 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Boy, may it be said, folks. May it be said that, you know, those people up at Loomis Park Baptist Church, they do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. 2 Kings 23, verse 25 says, "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." I titled this message, "Wanted More Josiahs." Why do we want more Josiahs? Why would? Because I'll tell you what, he achieved his goal, and his goal was to please God. And you know what? It would do our church, it would do America, it would do the world a whole lot more if we had people whose sole desire was, "I'm going to please God with my life." Oh, I don't mean you cast off your parents' wishes and your wisdom and all that. No, 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 no. No. The Bible says, "Honor thy father and mother." Amen. Amen. Still supposed to do that even after you move out of the house and all God's people said. Still honor mom and dad. But I'll tell you what, if we had the goal, you know what? I want to please God. I want to please God. Paul said, "Do I please men? God forbid." He said, "I want to please God." Let me give you four ways that Josiah pleased God. Four ways. In verse number 2, it says, "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left." Now, if you read this verse, you will find out here in verses 1 and 3 that from the time that he was 8 to 15... Josiah's, number one, Josiah's actions pleased the Lord. Josiah's actions, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What he did pleased the Lord. What he didn't do pleased the Lord. Where he went pleased the Lord. Where he didn't go pleased the Lord. Who he followed pleased the Lord. Who he didn't follow pleased the Lord. Who he associated with pleased the Lord. Who he chose not to associate with pleased the Lord. What he saw pleased the Lord. What he refused to look at pleased the Lord. What he listened to pleased the Lord. What he refused to listen to. How he treated people, and on and on and on and on we could go. You know what? His actions pleased the Lord. So here's our question. Do my actions please the Lord? Hey, listen, if you can go to a place where the Lord wouldn't be pleased, I'd recommend you don't go there. Come on. Hey, listen, I said today I was talking to somebody, and we've got delicate ears here, but other than one area of the marital relationship, there ought not to be anything that you can't do or say or watch in front of your children. You know why? Because that's... You get into this other stuff and you start rationalizing, and I'll tell you what, you're not going to be pleasing the Lord. Your actions aren't going to be pleasing the Lord. You keep things like that in front of you, keep walls up in your life. You know what? His actions please the Lord. Josiah's actions please the Lord. Number two, not only Josiah's actions, but look at verse 3. It says, "For in the 8th year of his reign," while he was yet young. So here he is. By the way, hey, teenagers, here he is, 16 years old. He started ruling when he was 8. Now he's 16. "And he began to seek after the God of David, his father. You know what? Not only his actions pleased the Lord, but his attitude pleased the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, and I know parents, you know this, attitude always affects actions. 4 A's right there. Attitude always affects actions. Attitude always affects actions. See, if you've got rotten actions, it goes back to a rotten attitude. Come on, amen. Listen, I know it was that way in my own life. I was a youth pastor. I'd watch teenagers, and when they get off into sin and get away from God and get away from God's Word, it was because they had an attitude of selfishness. And it led to the wrong. But Josiah, you know what his attitude was? I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to please the Lord. We mentioned it this morning, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What was Josiah's attitude? I believe you find it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, speaking of Jesus Christ, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Just put Jesus in the middle of every decision you make. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about whether you like McDonald's or Burger King. If you write with God, you'll go to Burger King because Don Bittinger manages our Burger King right down the road. Amen. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about decisions maybe that are questionable in your mind. Maybe they're a little gray. And you're thinking about going one way. Hey, let's put Jesus in the middle of the decision. I'm not a big person on bracelets and necklace for displaying your Christianity, but I will tell you this. Back a few years ago, there was a great little acronym that came out, and it said WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? If you take that question and put it in the middle of your situation, it'll be hard for you to do the wrong thing. Come on now, amen. The problem is many people today don't have Josiah's attitude that they want to please the Lord. They say, I want to please me. Don't please me. I don't really care what God says. I'll tell you what, you're on shaky, risky ground when you start thinking like that. You better watch out, because God does chasten His own children. Hey, and by the way, if you think that chastening ends with just you, you've got another thing coming. Come on, church. Listen, God knows how to get our attention. I've got two little boys, and I don't want my sin and my stubbornness to cause something to come upon them. Amen? You know what? His attitude pleased God. His actions pleased God. Something else you can look at here. I like this part. Look at verses 3 through 7 of 2 Chronicles 34. And they're long, and it says, For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, so here he is, 20 years old. 20. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And it goes on here in these verses talking about how he just absolutely gets rid. You know what? Not only his actions, not only his attitude, but number three, his abhorrence pleased God. We talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning. We were talking about how God is a person. He's not a thing. He's not an it. Amen. He's a person. Why? Because God, like any person, grieves. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 6:6 that it grieved God that He had made man when He was about to flood the earth. Why? Because man was so wicked. And not only does God grieve, God loves. For God so loved the world. Amen. And thank God for those. But I want to tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. God, just like a person, hates. He hates. By the way, He does not hate people, and all God's people said. But He hates sin. And I want to tell you, one of the outstanding characteristics of Josiah was he hated sin. He hated wickedness. He had seen, and by the way, his father was the one that brought it all back into play. But you know what? It's so Bible right here. The Bible says, Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. If you get to knowing this book, I promise you, you will have a hatred for evil. Why do you hate liquor, Pastor? Because the Bible tells me I should. And I've seen the destruction it causes in people's lives. I've seen the wedding rings that are snapped. I've seen the maimed bodies at the side of the road. I hate it. Boy, I'll tell you, we ought to get to the point where we hate sin like that. Don't you dare hate sinners. If you do, you have to look in the mirror and say, I hate you because you're a sinner. But I'm talking about hating sin. Hating it. Just absolutely, listen, you go down to the streets of Michigan Avenue in Detroit and you see these women that are walking and literally just giving themselves away. I hate that. I hate that. I don't hate those people. I hate what Satan does. And by the way, I don't want to be associated at all, anyway, with anything. I remember when I stopped buying beer, Brother Boston. Stopped. Stopped going to places where beer was flowing. Why? Because I'll tell you what, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Hate it. That's okay, amen. We ought to hate it with a holy hatred. And Josiah here, he said, you know what? It's not enough that they're just doing their own thing religiously. He said, we're stamping out the idols. We're going to get back to having the blessing of God. We're going to worship the Lord. And he hated sin. Hated it. Well, I'll tell you, I could go on and on and on and on with sins we ought to hate. I think one of the ones in our day that we ought to hate is covetousness. Holding on too tight to things. When missionaries can't even get to the field because people are saying, I love my things. Listen, ye that love the Lord, Josiah abhorred idols. And he made it his business as the king to stamp the idols out of the land. The Bible says in Romans 12:9, abhor that which is evil. Cleave unto that which is good. Boy, hey, there's enough good for us to hug where we don't have to be snuggling up with evil. Josiah's actions please God. Josiah's attitude please God. Josiah's abhorrence please God. You know what else? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah's adoration pleased God. What Josiah adored, what he loved, pleased God. It says there in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 34, aren't you glad I didn't have you read this verse? Amen. Now in the 18th year of his reign, that means he's 26 years old, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city of Joah, and the son of Jehoahaz, and the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. You know the first thing that Joseph... by the way, it was due to his attitude to seek God that he loved what God loved. You know what I want to communicate to my children? I want to communicate them, boys and boy or girl, whatever the next one is. Mommy and daddy want to love what God loves and hate what God hates. You know what the first thing he loved there according to verse 8? He loved the house of the Lord. He loved the house of the Lord. What's it say there? He sent these people to repair the house of the Lord. Because I'll tell you, after 55 years of Manasseh reigning, the house of the Lord wasn't a big priority there in Judah. But you know what Josiah said? It's always been a big priority with God. It's going to be a big priority with me too. Hey, listen, I know I'm the pastor. I was kidding about it the other day, talking about how I love coming to church. And I have to be here. I'm on staff, amen? But I'm going to tell you, and Pastor Donald knows this is true, I wasn't always on staff. And I just love being in God's house. Amen? I love being in God's house. Even if it's out in the tabernacle. Praise God, Wednesday night it was downstairs, amen. Why? Because that's where God's people are. I want to be around God's people. I want to encourage God's people. I want to be in God's house. It had been in shambles for 55 years. Hey, listen, may we get back to the time, and listen, I know you're the Sunday night crowd, where we just absolutely adore going to, being in, working in, inviting people to God's house. Come to my church. Boy, what a friendly church we have. You'd really enjoy it there. I think you'd find the people to be a blessing. And the preacher, well, he's ugly, but there's nothing we could do about that. Amen. But, you know, get to that adoring God's house. Being in Sunday school. Sunday morning, Sunday night, whether we're having ice cream or not. Wednesday night, amen. Bible study, refuel, amen. That's what I call Wednesday night, refuel. Just put the gas in and top us off for the week. He adored God's house. Can I say this? When you adore God's house, you fit your schedule around the church calendar and not the other way around. Come on now. Amen. You say, you know what, we're going to make time for this. And when revival meeting comes and when missions conference comes, we're going to make sure that we're in there for that. Hey, God's, he adored God's house. You know what else he did? He adored God's work. Look at verse 10. It says, and they put in the hand of the workmen that had oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it, and to buy hewn stone and timber couplings and to floor of the houses and which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were all those people. Amen. And listen, Josiah adored God's work. He said, listen, let's get to work. The previous kings of Judah, his father, Manasseh, was rotten, but his grandfather, Hezekiah, was good, but there was others that were... He just said, hey, let's get back to the work of the Lord. Can I ask you this? Do you adore the work of God? Now listen, answer carefully. The work of God is people, and sometimes people are problems. But you know what Josiah did? He adored the work. He said, listen... He said it this way, let's get to work. Let's get to work. You know, I want to say this to our younger people. Our seniors have done their fair share of the work here at Loomis Park Baptist Church over the years. Amen? No doubt about it. Why? Just look at the distribution here tonight of who's here and who's not. Now, by the way, seniors, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. You serve Jesus till He calls you home. But you know what? It's time that this younger generation, my generation, 30s, 40s, 20s, 50s, started adoring the work of God like the seniors have over the years. See, there came a point where you had that attitude, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm just going to fall in love with Jesus. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to come to His house. Boy, I'll tell you, we need people our age that are as committed to the Lord as people in our seniors' age. He adored the work of the Lord. He adored God's house. He adored God's work. Can I say this? He adored God's book. He adored God's book. Look at verse 15. It says, and Hilkiah answered and said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. I can still hear Dr. Malone in his 80s raising up his hand. He used to have a sermon he would preach out of this text called, I have found the book! Amen. Well, you keep reading there, verse 18 and 19. It says, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. Verse 26. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest His words against this place, God had pronounced judgment on Judah, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. What was it that Josiah adored there? He adored God's book. He listened to what it said, and he obeyed it. The Bible says in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Josiah's adoration pleased God. Do we love what God loves? Do we really love what God loves? By the way, can I say this? We didn't say this in here, but in our New Testament age, you know what God loves? People. He loves people. Listen, our God, the Bible says, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When's the last time you told a sinner about Jesus? When's the last time you pulled a gospel track out of your pocket and gave it to someone? Boy, I tell you what, the devil makes it seem so hard to do this. It's not that hard. We've got the Word of God right here. The Spirit of God's moving. I'll tell you one of the funniest stories I have of witnessing is, you ever witnessed? You get to pass out tracts. I know Mr. Jordan passed out a lot of tracts. A lot of people you pass out tracts. I'm telling you, I come from a background where the rougher the crowd, the more I like to witness to them. And you say, "Oh, Pastor, because that's what I was when I got saved. I was rough. I was, rock and roller." And I remember going to this guy, and he had blue spiked hair. And I mean, it was, you think this carpet's blue? It was blue. Amen. I mean, I don't know how you would ever get it that blue, but by living under the sea, amen. And he just didn't have spiked hair like you see a couple people like, well, Uncle Joe's not here, but amen. No, I'll just leave it right there. I'm talking about like he had like four spikes, like one, two. He looked like a unicorn with blue unicorns, amen. And I went up to that guy. And of course, he had everything that went along with it. You know, they have all the chains, and nowadays they've got all the piercing. And I heard a preacher say one time, it looked like they fell face first into a tackle box, you know, just come out with all these things. And I walk up to that person, and the Holy Spirit had just prompted me to witness to them. I pulled a gospel tract out of my pocket, and I said, "I'd like to give you something to read if you get a chance. There's some good news. I'll tell you about Jesus." You know what he said? "Thank you very much." He didn't cuss me out like the devil told me he was going to. He didn't insult me. He didn't get up and want to have a debate. He said, "Thank you very much." You'd be surprised how many people are waiting for a gospel track. You know, Josiah, his adoration pleased God. His abhorrence pleased God. He hated sin. Did you know you can hate sin and still love sinners? How do I know? God does it every day. His attitude pleased God. Hey, young people, he started reigning when he was 8 years old. You know what that tells me? You can have a right heart at 8 years old towards God. And you know what else? His actions pleased God. He said, "You know what? What I do is going to please God. If it's questionable," I think Josiah just said, "You know what? I'm not going to do it. If it's in the gray and towards the black instead of towards the white," you know what the Bible says? "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Where the appearance of evil is, let's just move. You know, and I'll finish with this. Pharaoh tried to get Moses to compromise. Remember that great story how Moses came and he said, "I'm talking for the Lord, let my people go." And Pharaoh went through these series of compromises with him. He said, "Well, you can go, the men can go, but the women and children have to stay. Or you can go, but don't go too far. You can go, but don't take your cattle with you." And Moses said, "Nope. God said we're going 3 days' journey." And why was that? Because God knew they needed to get all the way out of Egypt. But Lot, you know what he did? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. You read those two stories. Who would you rather be, Lot or Moses? I'd rather be Moses. So you know what? If it's questionable, I need to get away from Egypt. I need to get 3 days' journey from Egypt. And you know what Lot did? He said, "I just need to pitch my tent towards Sodom." No, no. Hey, What are you trying to say, Pastor? Hey, in that idea of the actions, let's just say, you know what? If it's even close to on the border of might be wrong, let's go this way. Amen. His actions, his attitude, his abhorrence, and his adoration, please God, wanted more Josiahs. Amen. Father, we